This is the Hoosier Ag Today, Thursday podcast on the 18th of September, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and Greg Allen have news today, including another variable year, very variable, for the Indiana corn and soybean crops, and an update on increasing costs of fertilizer. The Indiana Farm Forecast with Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin includes no change in that sunny, warm, and dry forecast. And the Wednesday corn, bean, and wheat markets yesterday sold off. Lack of news and profit-taking. Tom Fritz has market analysis on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The Indiana corn and soybean variable and fertilizer prices on the rise. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. Brought to you by BW Fusion. Grow smarter with BW Biocast Max, the innovative biostimulator from Biodyne. It reduces fertilizer use, boosts yields by up to 5%, and works on any crop. BW Biocast Max, efficiency from the ground up. Variable. That term has been used to describe Indiana corn and soybeans for several years now, but it may not be truer than it is this year. Here's Eric Pfeiffer.
It's really a year of the haves and the have-nots. Who got timely rains and who didn't? You heard an update from southern Indiana farmer C.J. Fleener earlier this week on Hoosier Ag Today.
I have a 50-50 split of guys that say, hey, I'm going to have the best bean crop of my life, or maybe the worst bean crop I've had in the last 10 or 15 years.
Well, I spoke with Tippecanoe County farmer Kevin Underwood this week. He hasn't started harvest quite yet.
We were fortunate in this very narrow band of our part of the world that actually received between an inch and a little over 2 inches of rain over the weekend that delayed the Purdue football game. But we had gotten actually pretty good rain through the month of August. And so as a result, things are actually maturing as they should, and they're not just dying.
Underwood says his wife had been worried about the lack of rain ever since May, and it led to what he says was his mantra for this growing season.
There were so many areas that were having issues with excessive rain and not being able to get planted or trying to replant in spots and all these kind of things. And we had not up to that point. And I told her, she's like, well, we need to pray for rain. I was like, we need to pray for enough. And that is likely the best mantra I think we've had all summer long, is like, just give us enough. And we've literally just every time we've gotten really, really dry, we've gotten enough. And I think we're probably going to be sitting on a pretty darn good crop.
And Underwood says he'll get harvest underway in the next week to 10 days. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Stop overspending on fertilizer. Biocast Max by BW Fusion helps growers cut up to a total 65 pounds of collective nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium per acre without sacrificing yield. Biocast Max is engineered to release nutrients that already exist in your soil, saving you up to $24 per acre. With Biocast Max, you put less in and get more out. This is how we farm now.
Learn more at www.bw-fusion.com/biocastmax.
After a period of relative stability, prices for key fertilizer components like nitrogen, phosphate, and potash have climbed steadily over the past month. Faith Parham, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says there are two main factors driving up the cost of fertilizer for farmers and ranchers.
The big drivers are energy cost, mainly because nitrogen fertilizers rely on natural gas. And so other countries have had decreased production due to conflict, as well as geopolitical disputes. Overall, there will just again be that uncertainty as, you know, the world continues to move around through these geopolitical disruptions.
But higher fertilizer prices don't just affect farmers. The added cost often ripple down the supply chain, from grain and vegetable producers to grocery store shelves, potentially pushing food prices higher for consumers already feeling inflation in other areas.
Farmers really just need to be aware and monitoring the market ahead of the next year. And so staying flexible and planning for this volatility will help, you know, manage higher input cost, as well as just being aware of higher input costs across the board.
While it's too early to say how long this trend will last, experts warn that continued volatility in global markets could keep fertilizer prices elevated well into 2026. Read more about it at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen, Hoosier Ag Today, timely, relevant, credible.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit MidAmerica see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got more of the same. This week has been sunny, warm, and dry. And here we are for your Thursday talking about the exact same thing. Great weather for harvest. You're getting after it in a large part of the state. And I think we're going to put this pattern together for tomorrow, for the start of the weekend as well. Honestly, most of the weekend. Saturday is fully dry. Sunday at this point, I think, is going to be dry well into the afternoon. Clouds are going to be trying to build on Sunday afternoon, but moisture probably does not start until we get closer to sunset. Now, once we get into that Sunday evening and overnight time frame, yep, scattered showers will emerge, and they will continue through Monday. I think they continue into Tuesday as well. By Tuesday, the frontal passage is through, but I'm starting to see signs that an upper-level low just wants to sit and rotate over the Great Lakes. It would not be out of the question. This is a cutoff upper low. That's part of the reason why it's moving a little slowly. So right now in the Sunday night through Tuesday time frame, I'm going to pencil in anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of precipitation, 80% hot coverage across the Hoosier State. The wild card is that low for Wednesday and Thursday. If it kicks out to the east pretty easy, I think we're back to sunny and dry weather. Probably not as warm, but we're sunny and starting to dry pretty quickly. If that low wants to sit mostly over the thumb and into southwest Ontario, what that has the potential to do is wrap around backside moisture, a lot of cloud cover, but even a few lingering scattered showers. That would be through Wednesday and Thursday, kicking our drying back a little bit more. It's up in the air right now. Just kind of depends on how this system wants to move through, but it's a new wrinkle that I'm seeing. Definitely looking at moisture to finish the weekend and start next week. That will create a pause in harvest. I need to stress, it's not big moisture. It's not problematic moisture, but I do not think we see any significant harvest for Monday or Tuesday at this point. There's just going to be too much rain shower action around. Now, getting into the later part of next week, we dry down again. Temperatures, as we said, cooler, but not cold. Big upper level ridge comes in to dominate for the weekend of the 27th and 28th. That ridge dominates even into the 29th and early 30th before we start to see some tropical moisture trying to come up through the Texas Gulf Coast and into the mid-Mississippi River Valley. That may change our pattern for the first few days of October. If that moisture does hold, the solution does come in, and if that moisture can move toward the eastern corn belt, could see some potentially larger rains the first few days of October. That's something we're keeping an eye on. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
When it comes to their customers, Seed Genetics Direct can be a little nosy. They want to know where you live, your farm's geography and soil type, and even your environmental challenges. After all, Seed Genetics Direct uses more than 40 company-owned and third-party research locations throughout Indiana and Ohio to test their corn and soybean lineups. And with that many research locations, there's at least one similar to your farm that will help Seed Genetics Direct guide you on the path to growing success. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
The markets sell off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review, brought to you by Performance Livestock Analytics, helping Indiana cattle producers run more efficient cattle operations with real-time data on feed, health, and performance, all in one easy-to-use app. Closing numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with thoughts from Tom Fritz of EFG Group in Chicago. I checked in with Tom at the end of the session. We did see a sell-off after Tuesday gains, but markets went lower on Wednesday. And, Tom, we can probably point to a little bit of profit-taking and obviously not a whole lot of news driving the market higher, which is nothing new.
Well, Andy, you really don't need me because that's about what I'm going to say. Number one, we have a lack of news here. From a technical standpoint, the market needs to be fed every day. And we just don't have any new news for today. I find it interesting that these corn stumbled at yesterday's high. But I think I don't want to say we're beating a dead horse, but everybody is questioning the national yield. But are you going to do that every day? Is that going to support the market every day? No, you need new news. I think it's old news that U.S. corn is competitive to Brazil. In fact, it's cheaper than Brazil, given the break in the dollar and the rally in the Brazilian currency. Argentina, well, they're holding on to their money because of fear of economic reasons over there. So bottom line, long story short, the U.S. continues to be the place to buy corn. Crop size? Well, okay, what's the yield? Nobody believes the national yield is as high as the USDA says, but like I said, you can't use that as an excuse every single day. So a little bit of profit taking, if you will. The wheat market, we had a nice four-day run. What was it prior to today? From last Thursday's low to yesterday's high, it was a 22-cent rally. That was the biggest rally DS Wheat has seen since last year. It's like, okay, we had a nice run of short covering. And it is known that U.S. wheat is competitive into certain parts of Asia. But, we traded it the last couple of days. We need some new information. We don't have the new information. Canada came out with a suggested of what their total wheat crop would be this year. It's a little bit bigger than what the USDA had, 36.6 million tons versus USDA at 36 million tons. So, that prompts a little bit of profit taking, and people are asking themselves, is this wheat rally for real? Well, the overall fundamentals haven't changed all that much. Yeah, the USDA gave us a friendly carryout number, meaning a reduction last week for U.S., but global production increases dramatically. Global wheat stocks, more than ample, they continue to grow. So wheat market's going to continue to be a struggle, but it is nice to know it can rally from time to time. Soybeans take a hit today, all about soybean oil. Yesterday, the EPA came out and said, okay, we're going to go into a 45-day public comment period about how we should reallocate all these exemptions, which total out to 1.1 billion gallons of biofuel. So, okay, we're going to have to wait 45 days as to what their allocation is going to be. Is it going to be none, 25%, 50%, 75%, 100%? We're going to have to sit and stew for 45 days. Well, the bean oil market had a nice 400-point rally over the last few days. So, yeah, what do we do now? There's nothing out there to keep the market alive in the near term. So bean oil sells off. Really doesn't help the meal market. I thought the meal market would show a little bit better of a spark just due to the spreading, but it failed to spark anything. So the beans come down with the bean oil. And, once again, does everybody believe the national yield that the USDA is touting? No, but we need more harvest. And, so we have to wait. And so when we get into a waiting game and you don't have, new news to, fuel the rally, markets tend to sag.
Comments from Tom Fritz with EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements now from Wednesday trade. December corn 426.75, down 2.75. March 2.5 lower, 444.5, and May down 2.5 at 454.25. 10.43.75 on Novi beans. A loss Wednesday of 6 cents. 6.25 down on the Jan, 10.63, and almost 6 cents on December wheat. That's 6 cents lower, 5.28.25. The meat's down as well. October live cattle extremely weak, 231.10, down 235, and just a nickel lower on the October lean hogs, 97.32. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.